Good morning and welcome to Carlos's Blend. This is the show that talks about tax, life, and business. And today, I got a really special guest that I'm going to be introducing here in a second, because it's an issue that small businesses throughout this country is dealing with. And I kind of want to share the story of why I wanted to bring this person on. I remember when I first started doing tax resolution and resolving tax problems, one of my first clients came to me. He was a small business owner, owned a construction company. And literally he came in and said, "Carlos, I need your help because the IRS just not only took money out of my bank accounts, they issued a wage garnishment on his wife's teacher salary, and they notified every one of his vendors that 100% of the money that they were gonna, that was owed to him was to go to the IRS. As we dug deep into this case, I realized this guy owed payroll taxes. And this business owner really didn't know exactly. He knew income taxes. He had a payroll company. He thought he did, but later found out that he wasn't paying his payroll taxes. So that brings me to today. What in the world is payroll taxes? So today I actually brought on a guest. His name is Andy Lopez from Forensic Payroll Consultants. This is one of my resources that I go to, an expert when it comes down to dealing with payroll taxes. Their leadership has over 75 years of experience in the payroll industry and working with large payroll companies. And they help us help you with payroll tax problems. Andy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Carlos. Thank you for inviting me to be your guest on this podcast. I sure do appreciate it.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate you coming. I know you're busy. You were just filming. You were filming some media in Los Angeles just recently, correct?
Yes, we're actually filming a commercial for the IPPA Summit, which we're attending in the next month.
Oh, nice.
We'll be there presenting. We have a booth there, and we're actually going to be attending a lot of their sessions as well.
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome. Well, let's jump into this. You know what, Andy, can you just explain to our listeners, and I would imagine most business owners maybe have an idea what payroll taxes are, but for the layman, what are payroll taxes and why are they so important for businesses to manage?
So the easiest way to describe it is a payroll tax is basically all the taxes that are generated anytime you pay someone. So they're at a high level, right? There's federal taxes, state taxes, and possibly local taxes. Uh-huh. Federal taxes at its most basic level are going to be your Social Security, Medicare, right. Federal income tax withholding. And then you have the employer share of federal unemployment tax. On the state side, you'll have state unemployment tax, any additional surcharge taxes that the state may impose on the employer. In California, there's the employer training tax. In other states, there's additional taxes as well to help keep their unemployment funds solvent. And then there's the there could be a disability tax on top of that as well. For the state in California, we have that SDI or DBL, disability tax. And those are basically derived from whatever you pay someone. So there's a certain percentage assigned for the fixed taxes. Mm-hmm. And then for income tax withholding, it's based on whatever the employee elects on their withholding. So when they fill out a W-4, right. When they complete that, it's calculated based on whatever their selection is. And the IRS and the states have their own algorithms and calculations of tables as to how they derive that. Mm-hmm. And then that's fed into software that payroll platforms, whether you're using QuickBooks or a large payroll company or even a small payroll company, all of the systems use some type of calculation that aligns with whatever the Fed and the state have issued.
Wow. So we're talking about, and basically, as you said, it's when you employ somebody, it's all those taxes associated from multiple government agencies, it sounds like, IRS, state, EDD as well, correct?
That's correct. Yes,
that's correct.
The state of California, it's the Employment Development Department, which is the EDD.
The EDDs, right?
And every state has unemployment tax. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. The only jurisdiction that does not, the only territory is Guam, because Guam uses a federal system.
Gotcha.
And then there are every state except a handful have state income tax withholding.
Gotcha. And What's interesting, you said, is when you employ somebody, but this can also be for like a single member, an owner of an S corp that's getting a salary. It's their own employment taxes as well, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. So S corp payrolls, right? We actually right now we're actually getting a lot of payroll requests to do what's called after the fact payrolls for 2023, because as these S corp owners are seeing their tax professional saying, hey, you need to pay yourself a reasonable salary. You didn't pay one in 2023. Now I've got to contact a company, Forensic Payroll, to get that after the fact or the backdated payroll for 2023 process so that we can file all of the payroll tax returns and make sure that everything's calculated correctly. W-2s are issued for the S-Corp owners, right? And S-Corp owners usually, you know, husband and wife or maybe, you know, children that own a business, S-Corp, right? So we do get a lot of those requests right now this time of year.
Well, it's interesting that you brought that up. And, you know, a lot of people do not realize, especially S-Corp owners, and we know within the, in our industry of resolution that the IRS is really cracking down because there are a lot of S-Corp owners. Like you said, they're going to their accountants. They're like, well, wait a second, you didn't pay yourself a salary. And they're like, well, no, I just took the money out, a distribution. I didn't know I had to do a salary. And the IRS is cracking down on that hard, especially going forward, right?
Right. They are cracking down on that. And you got to remember, a lot of the S-Corps that are around today, they were sole proprietors last year. So they're used to just commingling the money and taking the money out and not putting themselves on a quote-unquote payroll. With the S-Corp election, you know, S-Corp is a complete and separate entity, right? And so that S-Corp owner is now an employee of that entity, and they need to take a reasonable salary. And we leave it up the accountants of the world, Carlos, you and your team, to calculate what that reasonable salary should be. And then that's communicated to us if we need to run a backdated payroll.
I didn't even realize, and I'm glad you brought that up, so you can actually provide that service to be able to do that for somebody.
Absolutely.
Is there a time frame that needs to be done that you guys have normally?
Our system can technically go back to 2016 if we really needed to run a payroll.
Our system
doesn't really have any limitations to dates. We operate in an air-gapped type payroll system, which is not tied to a tax system. And because it's not taxed to a tied system, we're not limited by dates. And so our whole service is centered around resolving prior payroll issues. And that being said, there's no limitation. I've worked on notices as recently as last year for the 2012 tax year, because we had clients that came to us at the end of last year that were still getting notices for 2012.
Well, that's interesting that you said that, even going that far back. I literally had a call yesterday, Andy, with a client that had a 2016. He was being assessed, and he didn't understand what it was. He kept on saying that he was fighting it in appeals. And when I kept on asking questions, I realized what it was his S-Corp that had a $300,000 net profit, and he had no payroll, and the IRS basically assessed those payroll taxes on him.
Right. So they'll do an estimated salary for him. and their automated system will create that, and it'll kick it out. Once it gets to a certain dollar amount, yep, absolutely, they're going to be assigned a revenue officer, and then it'll proceed down that escalation path of collection.
Well, that's good to know. So it's possible then for 2016 for him to go back and create a payroll for that year.
Yeah, and at 2016, I have to think that one client, that the IRS probably created it for them.
Yeah,
And quote unquote filed everything for him already. But if you have a situation that hasn't gone to that extent all the way up to collections, we can definitely go back to 2016, 2017, 2018 to produce a payroll.
Yeah, and that's where he's at. He's not at collections yet. He's just they're trying to assess this. And that's basically what he told me. Well, that's good to know. I'm going to have to talk to you about that. Well, this is what's great about this, is because one of the things I think a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, one of the biggest challenges is that people don't realize how important these payroll taxes are and how bad they can get extremely fast, correct?
They're extremely important. They're extremely important because, you know, employers, it's not their money. The money belongs actually to the public trust. Decades ago, Congress passed the trust fund recovery penalty legislation. And basically, it requires the IRS to assess penalties on any employment taxes that were not paid to the IRS if, number one, there's a responsible person that should have paid it, and number two, there was willfulness in not paying it. And those, the penalty is huge. I mean, trust fund recovery penalty, otherwise known as the 100% penalty, literally means that, you know, the penalty is to the employer that they have to pay 100% of all the taxes due. So not just the employer portions, but also any of the employee portions that would have normally have been sent or would have been calculated to have been sent at the time of issuance of the wages. So any income tax withholding that they should have taken from the employee's check, sorry, employer, you've got to pay that now. And you can't go back to the employee and try and recover it.
100% penalty.
100%. Plus penalty and interest off of that. As well.
Off of that. You're right. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. There's penalties and interest on top of that. Right. So, and that basically accumulates every single month.
Exactly. And the other reason why Congress passed that legislation was because employment taxes fuel the economy.
Right.
They absolutely fuel the economy. I mean, aside from corporate taxes and excise taxes, employment taxes fund a huge percent of the economy that flows into the treasury every single day.
Right.
I mean, we're talking trillions of dollars.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, it's funny. My friend Eric Green, attorney Eric Green, talks about when that money that you took, you stole the money from the government. So it's not like it's not something that you just didn't pay. You actually stole money because you collected that money for typically from the employee that you were. It was entrusted in you to be sent off to the IRS, and you kept that money. And you always hear stories. You know, you ask business owners, so how did this happen? Well, I couldn't afford to pay my bills. I needed to pay my vendors, and they see that money sitting there, and they think that they can actually use that money, thinking that, well, things will get better next month and I'll be able to pay this back. The problem is that it tends to turn in not into 1 month, 2 months. It usually ends up happening over years. And I know we've sent a few clients to you. They ended up being multiple years because it's just a roller coaster. It's kind of a snowball effect. That's a better analogy of these things start to pile up, correct?
Yeah, we did see a lot of that through 2019. And then once the pandemic hit in 20 and 21, there was a lot more of that. Mm-hmm. And now what we're seeing is that those business owners who didn't go back and record the payroll correctly, even if it was forensically in our world, if they didn't contact us to recreate the payroll and get something filed, you know, you've got those employees who are going to start trying to collect their and trying to obtain their W-2s, and the W-2s were not issued to them. Then the IRS, it may take a year, may take two, may take three, but the IRS is not going to forget when it comes to willfulness in failing to pay and report. And there's no statute of limitations on any criminal acts. And even on the trust fund recovery penalty, that cannot be discharged in a bankruptcy.
Yep.
So that employer, that responsible person, once that's deemed by the IRS, it's gonna be a debt that is gonna be owed forever.
Basically, the rest of their life.
Right. Exactly. And so it's very important to get the taxes paid, at least get caught up. And what we always tell clients when we're rebuilding a payroll is pay the oldest one first and then get caught up to the most recent. It's particularly true of the state. So if you have any state taxes owed for payroll, you want to make sure you're going to pay the oldest ones first because those are the ones that are going to be closest to collection. And the state agencies, particularly the state of California, and the larger states of New York that has also has income tax with it, and other agencies, they have long arms and they can go after a client's business licensings as well. Mm-hmm. So we've had construction companies that have lost their certificates of good standing. They've lost their contractor licenses for a period of time. They've restaurants who've lost their alcohol and yeah. Licensing as well. And so, you know, they have long arms and they don't forget. And the agencies talk to each other, especially in California, where you have the state controller's office, so the comptroller of the state of California. All of the agencies roll up into that one. So all of your state compensation fund, your franchise tax board, and the employment development department. And because they all roll up into one agency, it gives them the ability to connect systems. And so so we're talking downstream domino effect if you don't pay your employment taxes. And that's really what, you know, the impetus for paying the employment taxes, because it is, I wouldn't say a voluntary program, but the IRS encourages compliance.
Right.
And the way they encourage compliance is, right, they try and give you as much tools as they can. They try and issue a lot of publications. State does the same. And, you know, a lot of times we've gotten penalties and interest removed because we've been able to show that there was reasonable cause. There was a reason why this wasn't filed or this wasn't paid. And usually if the tax is paid but you forget to file a tax return, generally we can get those penalties removed because at least that they were showing some due diligence and at least that they were showing that they were paying the taxes that they should have paid. They were trying to pay them on time.
Right. Well, you know, you brought something up that really kind of hits home because a lot of people don't have, a lot of people think the IRS is powerful. They are. But the state has the ability, what the state can actually do to you, and I'll give you an example. I have a client in the past that lost their medical license.
Yeah.
Doctor. License taken away. Take your driver's license away. As you talked about, your sales tax license, your... you can lose your ability even to earn a living by not being compliant and taking care of these tax issues that we're talking about.
Yeah, and believe it or not, the disparity in how the agencies operate is very vast. Gotcha. The IRS, for example, they take a while to catch up to you, but they're also probably the easiest out of the agencies to work with. States, on the other hand, they're because, you know, they have less employers, mm-hmm. right, to work with versus nationally, they tend to work issues and delinquencies faster, but they're also harder to work with.
Gotcha.
So, and it really depends on the state because the treatment that you might get for a tax liability in California would be completely different than Arizona.
Gotcha. Now, I got a question. What would you say are the three most common mistakes businesses make with their payroll taxes?
I think the three most common would be that they think that they can pay them later. Right? I think that's not adhering to the due date or not knowing that there is a due date. I think the second one would be thinking that they'll eventually fix it and get to it, and tomorrow never happens. Right?
Right.
And I think the third is thinking that they can fix it on their own.
I tell people all the time, there's a lot of people in our industry that do what we do. And when payroll tax issues come on, they are so complicated. So when we start thinking that people are going to try to take care of it themselves, we're like, we do this for a living and these things get complicated. And then we bring in specialists. You're like a heart surgeon, right? If you want to compare it to medical industry, this is a specialty that you need a specialist that have seen this thousands of times to be able to figure out, okay, what is the best route to be able to get this solved?
Right. And I'll give you a perfect example. One's going to be an analogy to the medical industry, right? If you're a patient who comes in to see your primary care physician and you're complaining of a sore throat, mm-hmm. well, that's the symptom. But what's the underlying cause, right? And then how do we fix it? The doctor may say, "Oh, okay, well, it's pretty simple. It's topical. You just have postnasal drip, right? But if he sees something and there are some other warning signs, then he may send you to a GI doctor because you could have acid reflux, mm-hmm. right? Which is more serious because that could deteriorate the trachea and the larynx and lead to cancer, right? And ultimately death. In our world, we have clients that come to us, especially this time of year, that says, "Hey, Andy, I'm a new business. I hired someone, and I need to issue a W-2 to my employee." And then we ask, and that's a symptom, right? I mean, and that's what's presented to us. And then we ask, "Okay, well, you know, did you pay? Did you pay them?" "Oh, yeah, I gave them cash, and that's, I don't have any records." So then it's not just a W-2 that we need to produce. It's all of the tax returns that go along with that reconcile with that W-2. So it's the IRS 941, it's the annual 940. Depending on how long they went without recording the payroll, we may need to rebuild a whole year. So it could be four quarters of the 941, and it could also be four quarters of the state tax returns. Mm-hmm. And there's unemployment that's due quarterly. There's income tax withholding that's due, that the returns due quarterly, right? In some states, if the liability is high enough, you might have to file a monthly return, right? And let's not forget, once you start reporting that, then the agency is going to expect taxes to have been paid, and once they reconcile and post those tax returns, they're going to recalculate what taxes should have been paid, as well as the penalty going back to when they were due. So they could have been due April, they could have been due July, October.
Or 2016 before, right?
right. And then if there's states like Colorado that has a Denver local tax, Michigan that has a local tax, in Lansing, Louisiana, Kentucky, they've got locals. And Ohio and Pennsylvania has locals as well. So it starts to create a domino effect once you start peeling back that onion to, it's not just simply, I need to issue my employee a W-2. There's a lot more into it. And there's a
they come to you with, "Oh, it's a simple one. We just need one employee needs a W-2 or two employees." And you just kind of peel back. No, it's not.
Right. And then, and then the client, looks at it and says, "Oh, it's probably more expensive, to pay you than it would have been to hire a payroll company or my accountant to do the payroll."
Right. Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
So they learn. They eventually learn. but we do have some repeat clients every year that don't. So,
I got a question. Just maybe you have a story. If you could share a quick story, and let's just say it's a sole, not a sole proprietor, single member LLC owner of an S corp, or it could be an LLC elected to be an S corp that failed to pay themselves payroll taxes. I'm pretty sure you got 1,000 of those stories. Kind of what happened and kind of what they came to you. Kind of just kind of a share a little story in regards of how you guys solved that.
I got to tell you, the story is all the same, especially with S corp, single owners, even LLCs, even partnerships that have two partners. They, and usually the partners on partnerships, they're rarer, and usually we see them in first year of creation, where they should have paid themselves. By the second year, they get on track and they hire their accountant or payroll company to do the payroll. But it is these single owner S corps that come to us, and it's always the same. They don't know what to pay themselves. Okay. And they really need to have an advisor looking out for them, like your firm, who will tell them, "Okay, this is what your revenue was last year. This is the calendared payroll that you should be on. Even if it's quarterly, pay yourself something. We'll figure it out at the end of the year, but at least they're getting something, the agencies, that is, throughout the year in terms of tax returns and filings and tax deposits. Because then it doesn't look so nefarious, right, at the end of the year when you have a larger payroll. The typical S-corp comes to us is, uh, I I forgot to run a payroll, or my accountant says I need to run a payroll and I need you guys to do it. And it really is the same conversation over and over. I mean, I think we have our speech pretty much nailed down, and we have a list of things that we need from them to produce the payroll. And we get it out quickly. We get it out less than 10 days, sometimes quicker. You know, our service model is such that we're not encumbered by processing payroll because we don't process payroll, right? All we do is work on prior issues. We leave the payroll processing to you know, the enrolled agents, the accountants, the CPAs, and the payroll companies of the world to do that. We want the project. We look at every single S-Corp project that's very similar because there's very little variation when it comes to S-Corp. The only variations that we've seen are when instead of there's one owner, there's two owner, the husband and wife, right? Or they needed to also record 401k contributions or an IRA contribution, you know, however they want that calculated out of payroll, right, as well as the medical premiums. Medical premiums every year seem to be something that S-Corp owners who are even using a payroll company tend to forget to include, and they tend to fail to report or forget to report to the payroll companies. Perfect example. We have a handful that came in this week that that said, "Oh well, I processed my payroll through my payroll company, and I'm an S corp, and now my accountant says I need to record the medical premiums." And so what we have to do is we have to amend the work that the payroll company did for the end of 2023, and then provide an amended W-2. So that all of the numbers balance out and there's synchronization with the S-Corp medical premiums because they need to show on the W-2 so that they can be recorded on the business's financials as well as the own employee's personal tax returns.
Gotcha. Most of the time when people have a payroll problem, they usually find out because a revenue officer has been assigned to their case. And that's usually how they end up finding me because all they know is that there's an IRS agent coming after them. A lot of times they don't know the severity of it and they need somebody to represent them. Do you guys do the representation part or just strictly deal with the paperwork of the payroll, of the forensic payroll?
We can represent up to a certain part.
Okay.
So up to the point where it gets to collections, we can represent.
Okay.
In some states we have, our own account at the agencies as a registered agent.
Okay.
And so for example, in California, we're a registered agent, and registered as a payroll service provider, because they kind of lump everyone into that, even though we don't process payroll. Gotcha. But we do touch, all the payroll tax returns, for the EDD. So, which is the D-9, DE-9C. Yesterday we were referred a client that was being sent to the administrative law judge because they failed to file tax returns. Well, as it turns out, the business owner actually sold the business and the last payroll was December 31st, 2022. But they forgot to tell the EDD, the state of California, that they closed the business. And so the state, they're just doing what they're doing, right? They're expecting tax returns for payroll to be filed every quarter. And having not filed payroll tax returns because they didn't know that the business was closed, they estimated what the tax liability should have been for first quarter and second quarter 2023. And they kept sending collection notices to the address on record. The address on record was the old address. And so the old business owner who had vacated the property never got the notices. And so, you know, we went into our account yesterday, got access to their system and filed everything that needed to be filed and then put the closure request in. And as of this morning, the balance due has been removed. So it's a simple process for us, but it's not so simple for business owners, especially the S-Corp owners, because you know, those are the smallest of the smallest business owners, smallest payroll. Right. They are a subset of all the corporations out there, right? And they have very small payrolls. they don't have someone, you know, in their payroll department, right? Like a big company does. They tend to, if they are running payroll, it tends to be the same payroll every single quarter, every single month. They don't really have the knowledge to be able to navigate the agencies, nor do they have the knowledge to even know what to do when a problem arises. So we got referred to them and helped them out very, very quickly. And we actually pushed them up in our priority because we knew that they had a protest date of today. They needed to get that letter in. So we did what we did on our side. And then we advised them also as an assurity process to make sure that they send that protest letter into the administrative law judge. And between the two acts of us actually filing the returns and closing the account online and them sending their letter in, you know, I could see online that everything's been resolved, but that additional letter adds a little bit more heft and weight to make sure that everything gets resolved. And at the end of the day, you know, the clients get taken care of.
And you know what? So many people get in that. I'm dealing with a case very similar to that where business was sold. So the people that bought it forgot to they forgot to tell one agency that it was closed, and now they're doing an assessment all those prior years. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Right. And that's part of our merger and acquisition compliance as well, is that when business owners are thinking of selling or thinking of buying, you know, we like to be involved in that process because every state unemployment agency, every single one of them requires you to report the movement or the mass movement thereof of employees when there's a merger or an acquisition. Every state requires, and you have to do it in so many days. And when you don't, you come across that issue, Carlos, that you're dealing with, you know, where did these employees go? Because the states will pick them up. Right. They will pick up, they have what's called SUTA dumping, State Unemployment Tax Act dumping software that right. will detect blocks of employees and their social security numbers moving from one entity to another. And it won't be tomorrow, it won't be next month, but it might be in 3 to 6 months or 9 months that they're going to come asking, hey, what happened to your employees? Because you're not reporting them anymore.
Exactly.
Or you came into a block of employees from another business. Tell us about how that occurred. And gotcha. They'll start asking questions. Then they'll peel back their own onion there to try and see what happened. And if there's non-compliance, then they're going to adjust probably the unemployment rate upwards because you inherit the experience with unemployment and unemployment tax that the predecessor had with that state agency. So it gets very messy. It gets very complicated. And business owners don't know what they don't know.
Well, Andy, I mean, this has to have been one of the most informative kind of talks I've had in a long time, just really understanding kind of how important payroll taxes are. And I'm pretty sure you agree with me in that. I think now that the IRS is fully back at work, the state's already been back to work, there's going to be a lot more of these cases that the IRS collection cases, audits on payroll issues are going to pick up dramatically. And I'm so happy to be able to kind of share your company, to let people know that there are resources out here to help people resolve their tax problems. So, if we want to find out more about you, what's the best way to find out more about you, Andy?
Best way to find out is go to our website, forensicpayroll.com. You'll see a list of our services. You'll even see a link to our portal where if you are a new business or have you've expanded or hired an employee in another state or one of your employees there's a lot of remote workers now. If one of your employees has moved to a new state that you have not been registered with for payroll tax, you can go to our portal and register for state ID.
Nice. Excellent. And again, you know, Andy works with a lot of professionals throughout the country. I've partnered up with Andy to help my clients that got payroll tax issues. So I want to personally thank you again, Andy, for joining us. And for you listeners, I hope you got something out of this. And remember, if you're dealing with tax problems or issues and you haven't picked up my book, How to Make the IRS an Offer You Can't Refuse, you can pick it up in the link shown on the screen here. absolutely free, a free ebook version of this. Or if you come by the office, you get it for free. Again, welcome to Carlos's Blend, business, tax, and life lessons.